Hebrews 11, we'll
dismiss Junior Church after the special this morning. I do want to say this, as you're turning there, Hebrews 11, this will be your last opportunity to say goodbye to my daughter. She will leave on Tuesday. She goes back out to California to take her position at Golden State Baptist College. She has graduated now with her master's, and we're very proud of her, and she is going to be on staff now at the college. And so she doesn't get the summer breaks like she has been getting for the last 5 years, or Christmas breaks. So I don't know. You make sure you say goodbye to her today. It might be the last chance. I keep telling her every day, this is the last Friday you'll ever be in South Carolina. And, you know, I'm making it as sappy as I possibly can. So, but I will. We will definitely miss her. We sure love her. Hebrews 11, if you would. I want you to look here. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached a message. We preached all the way through Hebrews 11, and I outlined it as far as the faith chapter, a hall of faith. And I said that I'm going to take the next several weeks. Of course, last week we had Brother Stalnaker here. But we're going to take the next several weeks, and we're going to look at each of these areas of faith. And we're going to look at the enemies of that faith. We're going to do that this morning, but as we begin, I want us to look at verse number 1, 2, and 3. Follow along if you would. The Bible says in verse number 1, Hebrews 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, Amen. So that the things which are seen, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We spoke 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the salvation that we find in verse number 4. And I want us to see this morning about salvation and about supply. There is great supply in verse number 4. But we also, in that same verse, we also find some enemies of the supply that God has for us. I want us to think about that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Johnson if he will. He'll lead in a word of prayer. We'll dismiss as soon as this special is over. Brother? I want you to think about me. Think about this with me. Don't think about me. That's not what I'm asking. I apologize. You may think bad things about me if you do. So, think about this, these first few verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Several years ago, I had a gentleman, he talked to me about this particular verse. He said, you know, if you think about this, if you look at the first few words, it says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said that word substance is the same as what we would consider the word matter in the science world. Matter. Everything is made up of matter. And so we have matter. He says you go on and you look at the rest of it. It says the evidence of things not seen. In a court of law, they will bring forth evidence and they will establish this evidence as fact. You can't argue with the evidence. You can't argue with fact. And he said it's a simple thing. Faith is simply a matter of fact. And that really is what faith is. Faith is believing that which God has already said is a matter of fact. Now, to you and I, it becomes faith. To us, we must place our faith in the Word of God because otherwise we're choosing ourselves to believe in ourselves. If you choose something other than the Word of God in a spiritual realm. Now, I believe that the Word of God, I believe it has the answer for all of life. I really do. Now, is anyone awake this morning? Is it hot? How many of you say it's hot in here right now? It's hot. How many of you say it's cold right now? How many of you say, I love the temperature it is right now? All right, very good, man. Praise the Lord. Got it right for once. I tell you, that's awesome. Usually it's one side or the other. Now, faith. Faith is something that God has established for us in a spiritual realm. As I say, the Bible has the answer for all of life. But especially in regard to a spiritual realm, we must look at the Bible as the final authority. It's the mandate. It is the final authority. It is the very Word of God. I must come to it and say, Lord, I place my faith on the Word of God. We look at this particular setting. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? By faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Talking about those Old Testament saints. Why, they obtained a good report. Listen, in fact, it outlines for us time and time and time and time again these Old Testament saints that we're going to look at for the next several weeks. For by it they obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. Boy, I love that. I love how the Bible repeats over and over and over about the creation of all of the world. Oh, how much I'd love to go to dive off deep into creation versus evolution right now. I'll not take time to do it. You say, well, that's interesting to me. Talk to me after the service. I'd love to talk to you about it because it is one of the most fascinating things as far as creation is concerned. But we believe creation because the Bible teaches it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We believe creation. We believe things by faith as God has asked us to do. So since I've made the statement, I've got to step out a little bit further. I believe creation by faith, just like the scientists who claim that they believe evolution by fact, they believe it by faith just as well. You say, well, I don't understand. They give facts. No, they give faith. Now, you may not like that, but that's why I would say, talk to me after the service. This isn't the setting. We're talking about faith for salvation and for supply. But there is so much that we place our faith in. When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Word of God, you remember in John chapter 14 when Jesus stepped before the public and he said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." I love that statement because there was not even any dissension at that time. It was, Jesus did not say, "If ye believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus Christ said, "Ye believe in God." That's already a given. That's established. Christ says, "Now, I want you to believe in me. I know that you already believe in God." And so this morning, I would come to you, and we live in a Christian nation, I would submit to you that we have many people who believe in God. My request is just as Christ said, would you now believe in Jesus Christ? We're talking about salvation here this morning. As we get to verse number 4, verse number 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Now we could go back, we're not going to, we could go back to Genesis, and we could read about the account of Cain and Abel, and how Cain decided that he was going to bring of the fruit of his own labor. Abel decided, as it says here, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, because Abel did it God's way. Abel said, "Lord, you have asked me to offer a lamb, I will offer a lamb." Cain, however, Cain was a worker, he was a farmer, he had grown these crops, and he believed that he could bring these as the works of his life to offer before God. And God said, "I'm displeased with that. That's not what I'm looking at." We begin to see salvation all the way back in the book of Genesis. We begin to see salvation. God is already laying the groundwork for our salvation. Already laying the groundwork for our faith. Well, sure, we can see, we can humanistically understand why Abel would believe that I worked hard, I put effort into this, I was diligent, I tilled the ground, I planted the seed, I weeded the garden, I watered it. Dear God, I worked so hard for this. Why would you not be pleased with my effort? Whereas all Abel did, Abel said, "Lord, I'll take this lamb that you have already created, this spotless lamb, and Lord, I will offer that as a sacrifice." Why? Because that's what you told me to do. And Abel could easily have said, I don't understand it all. It's not all completely clear to me, but I'll do it by faith. I'll do it by faith. I'll do it God's way. And so we begin to see salvation. And so God calls our attention here to the faith of Abel, that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It wasn't up for debate. It wasn't that Abel stood before God and had a time to stand before him and say, all right, Lord, I think that my sacrifice, I think that my work, I think that my labor is just as good. No, God said, here, let me tell you how it is. Let me tell you what's happened. We see Cain and we see Abel, and Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than that which Cain had given. And of course, we understand, we know Genesis. Cain got all upset about it, irritated, and the first murder occurred because of a lack of faith. And so Cain killed Abel. And so therefore, we get to the end of the verse, and it says, he being dead yet speaketh. So even though Abel was killed at the own hand of his very own brother over a lack of faith, it is still ringing in our ears 6,000 years later because of the Word of God. So we see here faith for salvation, as we looked at it here a couple of weeks ago. Faith that God will provide for us salvation. And faith, let me add to that the thought of faith for supply. Faith for supply. Because we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at both salvation and supply. Because it is God that supplies, and the first thing that we need is salvation. The first thing that any individual need. Oh, you don't need a new car. Yours may be a wreck. Yours may not run. You don't need a new house. You may say the floorboards are rotted. It leaks everywhere. I've got black mold in it. Before you need anything else, you need salvation. Before there's any need that we could ever say to God, when we realize salvation is the first and foremost need, oh, I'm thankful to God that it comes simply by faith. I'm thankful that it doesn't come by my works. I'm thankful that, because I promise you this, I couldn't do it. I couldn't offer enough. I couldn't till the ground enough. I couldn't offer enough works of my own hand. So Abel's offering, it was accepted, whereas Cain's was not. It was a lamb sacrifice, just like our salvation is a lamb sacrifice. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It was a blood sacrifice. He offered that through a blood sacrifice, just as our sacrifice. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, as He hung upon that cross, suffering for my sin and for yours. Oh, you see, it was the only acceptable sacrifice. What Abel gave, that was the only acceptable sacrifice to God. I'm not going to accept Cain. I'm not going to accept your works. I'm not going to accept your good fruits, your goodness. I'm going only to accept that of Abel's, just like ours. I can try. I can try. I can turn over a new leaf every January 1st. I can decide to start going to church every single Sunday. I can start reading my Bible. I can start living a good life. But the only sacrifice that is acceptable to God is that which Jesus Christ did for me and for you when He willingly gave Himself on the cross. God is looking for some believers who are willing to offer by faith what has been commanded by the Lord. He's looking for born-again believers who by faith were willing to offer what God to offer to God what He has given to us by faith. We look at the offerings of the spiritual realm, our prayer, our praise, our worship. They should be offered to God. We look at the monetary offerings to God. Our finances should be given to God. We look at the physical offerings, our time, our service, our separation. All of these things should be given to the Lord by faith. Again, I don't necessarily understand all of it. I promise you that. I don't understand it. I can see, well, I'll not get into all of these, but I can see my time. But Lord, my time is valuable. The only commodity in which I will ever have that I can never replace. If I earn a dollar and you take that dollar, I can earn another dollar. But if you take my time, I can't ever earn another moment of time. Your time is precious to me. Oh, it's precious to God. I know it's precious to you. But it's also precious to me. I will tell you very clearly, thank you for being in a church service this morning. Your time is valuable, I understand that. Because there could be many places that you could have been. Why, you could have chosen a number of different places to go. It might have been a different church, or it might have just been a complete different setting. I understand that, and I thank you for it. Here's what I'm getting at. Sometimes I could justify, and I remember years ago, I remember justifying in my mind, well, I have more important things to do than what God has asked for me to do. I was talking with one of our guests here this morning. I was asked, where'd you go to Bible college? Well, I didn't go to Bible college. I went to a secular college for computer programming. But years before I graduated, I know now looking back on it, I know that God was calling me into the ministry. But I ran from it because I thought I had something more important to do than what God wanted me to do. I wonder how many this morning are running from what God, from what you know God has asked for you to do. But yet you're running from it because you believe you've got something even more important than what God's called for you to do. So we think about these things. We think about faith. But I also want us to see that there is faith for salvation and supply. God's supply is what we need. God's supply is what we need. But there are enemies against our faith for supply. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down number one, the enemy of doubt. The enemy of doubt. When it comes to salvation, that is the first enemy that we will ever face. When it comes to supply, and I'm talking about God supplying our need in any way, God supplying our need for time, God supplying our need for finances, God supplying our need for health, God supplying our need for any, you fill in the blank. When it comes to God supplying our need, the very first enemy that we will ever experience is the enemy of doubt. I doubt that God will do it. I doubt that God can do it. First, we doubt what is the supply. We doubt the supply itself. Listen, when we're talking about salvation, I've spoken to so many people over the course of the last several years that believe that their supply, we're talking specifically right now about going to heaven, their supply, some of them don't even know what the supply is. Some of them don't even know if there is really a heaven. Some of them doubt whether there really is a supply to be offered, whether salvation is even necessary. I've talked to many people that believe that once I die, I'm going to be buried, my body's going to turn to dust, and that's it. But I've got a Bible that tells me so differently. I've got a Bible, amen? I've got a Bible that tells me of a very real heaven and a very real hell. They're both just as real as anything that you or I look and see today. Oh, but there are those that doubt. They doubt the very supply. They doubt the fact that they need this supply. I've talked to a lot of people that doubt whether they really need the supply of salvation. Well, I believe I'm a good person. I think I'm a good man. I've tried my hardest. I've gone to church along. I talked to an individual just yesterday, young man, visiting this area. And when I asked him, I said, listen, if this were your last day on earth, where would you spend eternity, heaven or hell? Or do you know? And he began to tell me how he believed that he would go to heaven. When I questioned him, just as so many times, he began to tell me about his life and about how he had done so many things and about the religion that he was involved in. But I was able to look at him and say, but sir, if all of those things is, if that's what God's looking for, then the Son of God died for no reason. This young man did not get saved. But I promise you, I could tell the look on his face. He had never been posed that statement or that question. If you could earn your own supply, your own salvation, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? And he just looked at me and I could tell it wasn't just, he was really contemplating. Why would there be? As I say, he didn't get saved, but he did hear the Word of God. I wonder this morning, maybe there's someone here that you say, I've never thought of that question. I don't have an answer. To be honest, there is no answer. Because the fact remains, Jesus Christ died for your sin. That's the answer. Jesus Christ died for your sin. And the supply is given through God. The supply is given by faith. What is the supply? Well, the supply is salvation, our first and foremost need. Who is it that gives the supply? Well, it comes through Jesus Christ. Will there be enough? Will there be enough? You see, these doubts. Will there be enough? You see, I remember talking to the man that when I talked to him about salvation, and I was teaching him from Scripture how he could be born again. He looked at me, he said, I don't think there is any way that I could be born again. I don't think there's any way that I could be saved. And I said, why do you say that? He said, because of my life. I've lived a rough life. And I looked at him, I said, well, have you ever murdered anyone? He chose not to answer the question. I was left with the assumption that he probably had. God used murderers in the Bible for His will. God never anywhere said, oh, you murdered someone, I'm sorry, you can't be saved. Oh, you've lived a bad life, oh, I'm sorry, you can't be saved. My pastor gives an illustration of a man that he was asked to go see in the hospital. He went to see this man, old man, a very bitter man, very angry man. And as Pastor Nichols dealt with him, the man began, his name was Bill. I remember the illustration so clearly. Bill began to talk about his life. And he said, when I was about 20, 21 years old, I had a preacher look at me and said, you can't be saved, you're so vile. He said, a preacher told me that. He said, I've lived every day of my life with that same thought. There's no hope for me, so why should I even try? Pastor Nichols was able to take him through the gospel, and Bill realized his need and his ability, and yes, God can save. And that man bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. 2 or 3 days later, stepped into glory as a newly born again child of God. They held his funeral. The family asked Pastor Nichols to hold the funeral. He said, I had the funeral. And as generally we'll do, we'll say, if there's someone here that would like to say something about Bill, I'll give you an opportunity. And he said, it was unbelievable. I've never had this before. Someone would stand up, they'd come up here to the microphone, and they would say, Bill was the meanest cuss I ever knew. He had no love in his heart for anyone. He was the most wicked, ugly person after person after person after person. No one said anything good about Bill because his life had nothing good to say about it. Pastor Nichols stood up afterwards. He said, I understand from where you're coming. He said, I got to know a little bit about Bill over a few short minutes. But let me tell you something about Bill that you don't know. Bill trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it doesn't matter how vile he might have lived. He trusted Christ, and right now he's in heaven with his God. And you can too. Boy, I thank the Lord that God doesn't say, oh, you better be good. But you see, doubt comes up, and doubt says, well, is there even enough supply for me? You see, now we talk to the child of God, the one who's already saved, the one who's born again. And you see, those same doubts come back. Oh, what is the supply in my life? What is it that God is wanting from me? What is He going to give me? Who is it? How is there even enough for Him? Could He possibly take care of me? If I step into this area, I'll recount it again. I would go, I'd be out soul winning. And the Lord is dealing with my heart about pastoring a church. And I'd say, Lord, I don't know that you can take care of me. How am I going to feed my family? And I'd knock on the door and God would smite me upside the head. And I'm like, you're right. I know you can take care of me. I know you can. I'd knock again and I'd say, but I don't know, maybe not. Back and forth and back and forth. Doubts are always the same. It's an enemy of faith. Oftentimes we see supply as simply a one-way deal. God owes me what I need. And when we look at it that way, all we have is doubt. We have doubt. You look at the verse here. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel's offering was a personal offering. It was a personal offering. Now listen. Please listen. This morning, if you don't know where you'll spend eternity, if you say, I have no idea if I would go to heaven or if I would go to hell, if this were my last day on earth, I don't know. Please, would you listen? I can promise you, God did not design a guessing game for all of eternity. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, died, and took my place where I should have spent eternity, all so that I could be born again. Can I ask you, would you allow God to remove the doubt about your salvation? The child of God, can I ask, would you allow God to remove the doubt about His supply for your life? We look at the offering that Abel gave to God. It was through faith. and it was a personal offering. There was no doubt involved. See, God isn't interested in how much we give. God is more interested in how much we withhold. God's not looking for equal giving. God's looking for equal sacrifice. So when you look at how much you give compared to how much you withhold, now we can see what God's looking for. It was a personal offering that Abel gave. When we begin to withhold, we begin to doubt God. Doubt is such a strong, strong enemy of God's supply. But we also see another enemy here in this verse. When we go on reading, we read here, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Oh, now we enter into another enemy of doubt. Now we see, enemy of supply. Now we get to greed. When we're talking about the supply of God and the faith that is required for God to supply our needs, if we're not careful, we step into an area of greed. Well, how much supply is there? Well, if God's going to supply, how much can I get? The same question, is there enough supply? Now turns into, how much can I get? And it becomes an area of greed. Our fear is that there won't be enough supply. When we see greed, when we see someone who believes that they must do something, when we're talking about salvation, the greed of an individual is, I must do something in addition to what God has already done. That's really greed. Jesus didn't have enough for me, so I'm going to add to it. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. I believe that He shed His blood for me. I believe all of that, but I still believe that I must be good enough to gain all of what Jesus did for me. That's greed. I can't add to it. When I begin adding to what God has done, I step into the world of greed now. And it's an enemy of faith. It's an enemy of the faith for God's supply. Again, I move back. I'm going this morning to talk about those who need Christ as their Savior and those who already are born again. For the child of God, the one who is already saved, the area of greed, while that battles against our faith so quickly because we think we need more and we need more. And I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about every part of our Christian life. We need more and we need more and we need more. Pretty soon we get so greedy, that it becomes an enemy of our faith. Oh, we worry about supply as a child of God. We worry about supply. Eve, think about greed. The Garden of Eden. God says to Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree of this garden except that one in the middle. Do not eat of that one, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so they were satisfied. I'll eat of that tree and 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 that tree, but not that one until the tempter. Now the tempter comes and the tempter begins to work in her, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And she begins to be greedy. And so through greed, she ignores the faith that she should have had in God, and she takes, and all of mankind falls because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We move forward. We look at Achan, if you're familiar with Joshua and Achan. They were told as they moved into the promised land, not to take of the accursed thing. But yet Achan did out of his greed. Even though everything else was supplied, he still took out of greed. You look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5, and they had made agreement that they would bring a certain portion to the Lord, but yet in their greed, they withheld, they kept back a portion of the gift, and they lied unto God in so doing. Oh, so we see the enemy of greed. You look at Abel's offering here in verse number 4, it was a selfless offering. It was a selfless offering. There was no greed. He understood that greed would be limiting God's supply. We look at doubt. Doubt is an enemy of the supply of God. Greed is an enemy of God's supply. But I want to look at one more. If we finish the verse, it says, he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God testifying of his gifts. You see, we have the enemy of doubt when it comes to supply. Now again, supply, that which God will give the child of God. He'll give you salvation if you're not a child of God. If you've never been born again, God will give you, he'll supply salvation. But after salvation, there is still that which God will supply. Greed will stand in the way of faith. Doubt will stand in the way of faith. But there's one more that we see here. When we read those verses, God testifying of his gifts. Can I say to you that we have one more enemy? It's the enemy of recognition. The enemy of recognition. Who's going to see the supply? Who's going to see it? Now, this is something that all of us battle when it comes to God's supply. Who's going to see it? Listen, the Lord knows when we have all that we need. And if we need more, God already knows. Our greed, we say, I need more. But God knows when we have all that we need. But we get to this point of recognition. Our first difficulty is when we don't recognize what God has supplied. The enemy of recognition is sometimes we don't even recognize what God has supplied. We keep coming to the Lord and say, Lord, will you supply? Will you supply? Will you supply? And God's looking down saying, you don't even see it. I have supplied. You don't even recognize it. God is the one that testified. God is the one that recognized. Whether Abel sought, whether Cain sought, whether Adam or Eve sought, God sought. God knew what was needed to be given. God knew what he needed to give. And many times we don't even recognize when God supplies. Oftentimes we're too busy asking for more to recognize that God's already given us what we need. Because of our greed, we're asking for more. And God's saying, I'm not giving you any more. I'm not giving you any more right now. You know, sometimes God gives to us, we ask, and God answers. He gives to us, and then we ask for more. And God's going to say, no, wait a minute, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, I didn't use it, but can I have more anyway? God says, well, wait a minute. You already have. Well, I don't think you gave me enough, and I want more. Or you say, but Lord, I didn't even get what I asked for. And God's saying, it's because you don't need what you asked for, but I gave you what you needed. But that's not what I asked for. But it's what you needed. You see, when we get to the point where we're satisfied with what God gives us, greed goes out the window, doubt goes out the window, because we recognize what God's giving to us. We recognize how God is meeting our needs. And so we see the recognition must be there. We've got to recognize what it is that he has done. That was our first difficulty with recognition. Our second difficulty is when we want to be the one who is doing the supplying. When we want to be the one who is recognized. Now we've got some real problems, because now we have pride that enters in. You see, we're talking again about supply. Well, I want to be the one, Lord. I want to be the one that meets the need. I want to be the one that is doing the supplying. You see, oftentimes in our own lives, I'm not talking about me supplying something for you. I'm talking about me supplying for me. Oftentimes, you know, we're in a predicament. We're in a situation, and we think, okay, well, if I do it like this, and then I do 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 this, then finally, I'll be where I'm supposed to be. And God's saying, no, wait. Where am I in all of these steps? Well, you're over there, but I'm supplying my need. Oh, would we get to the point where we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to recognize that you're the one that supplies my need. Because when I get to the point where I'm trying to supply all of my need, I'm right back to the point where I have pride. The Bible speaks so much about pride because it's the proud individual that says, I don't need salvation. I've lived a good life. Do you remember in James when he says that he will resist the proud, but give grace to the humble? For by grace are ye saved through faith, Ephesians 2. So, God says, I don't need your pride. The supply doesn't come through you. Now, God still expects us to do our part and work. But God is the one that supplies. Because recognition will stand in the way of supply. When we think it's all up to me. You know, sometimes there's just a point where you have to say, it's not me at all. It's not me at all. It's God. Abel's offering. We looked at the offering first. It was a personal offering. There was no greed involved. There was no doubt. There was a selfless offering. There was no greed. Abel's offering was a private offering. There was no recognition needed. Oh, Cain saw it. But Abel didn't care. Abel didn't do it so that he could be seen. You look at Cain. It was all about me and what I've done. And look at what I've done. Abel just said, all right, Lord, you get the recognition. I'll just simply take the lamb that you told me. I don't need to be recognized. Oh, would we get to the point in our lives where by faith we will allow God to get the recognition. I don't want the recognition. The greatest compliment that anyone could ever say to a preacher is, man, I didn't even... I saw Christ this morning during the message. That's the greatest compliment you could ever give to a preacher because I'm not standing up here so that you all see me. I'm standing up here because I desperately want us all to see Christ. This morning He has given everything for you. He has supplied everything for you. Will you recognize, will you see these enemies of supply? The doubt. God wants you to remove the doubt. The greed. God wants you to remove the greed. And the recognition, well, I need to be recognized. No, you don't. None of us do. God needs to be recognized. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, I ask that you just use the message in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would see the supply comes from you. I pray that we would be satisfied with that. Lord, the devil would love to get in the mix. Lord, he would love to keep our faith away. But dear God, I pray that we would see that this morning, that we would realize already going into it. Lord, as we begin the next several weeks looking at the enemies of faith, Lord, I pray that we would see that there are these enemies that go against your supply. Please, dear Lord, please, would you allow us to see the supply? Would you allow us to be thankful for the supply? And dear God, if there is one here this morning, Lord, if there is one here this morning that has never taken that supply, that which you have already given, Lord, I pray that they would do so today. Perhaps there is someone here this morning that doesn't know whether they would spend heaven, or eternity in heaven, or whether they would spend eternity in hell. I pray this morning that they would make the right decision. Jesus Christ died for their sin. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, no one's looking around, can I ask you a simple question? Do you doubt this morning? Do you doubt? Oh, could I ask you to remove the doubt? Have real faith that God's asking for. Are you greedy this morning? Are you looking for more than what God is supplying? Or are you willing to say, Lord, what you are supplying is what I need? Whether I think I need more or not, you're supplying exactly what I need. And are you looking for the recognition, or are you willing to have God be the one that is seen? Do you even recognize the blessings that He's given to you? Oh, maybe this morning you would say, I haven't even looked for the blessings of God. I've been too busy looking for my own blessings. Whatever it is this morning, could I ask you to be honest before the Lord? Is there something this morning you say, boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to me? That's me, Pastor, this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll pray for you this morning. Could I ask you this? Is there someone here that says, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity? You talk about it, Pastor, like it's so very real. Can I tell you right now, it is very real? Maybe this morning you'd say, I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I would be willing to have someone take a Bible and show me so that I could go to heaven. Is that you this morning? Oh, would you be willing to slip your hand up? No one is looking. Please don't let pride be the reason that you would never want to trust Christ as your Savior. This morning, if you say, I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I want to, would you slip your hand up as no one looks around? No one at all. Lord, you've seen our hearts this morning. I pray that we would look to you. Dear God, I pray that we would not let these enemies of faith stand in our way, Lord, of seeing your supply. Lord, help us to see the supply that you've given to us. Lord, help us to be satisfied with it. Lord, help us not to doubt that you will supply our needs. Bless this message, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. Please, with the piano, begin playing. The invitation time is open. Oh, would you come forward here right now? Would you come forward, maybe put your knee on the altar and say, dear Lord, I've been greedy. I have doubted and I haven't even recognized what you're doing in my life. Oh, would you come this morning as she plays? Please, you come.